Good evening, and welcome to Older Women Live on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're part of the Hearsay programming, Women's Voices, heard this slot 6 to 7 p.m. every Wednesday. Our show, produced by a group of older feminist women, is on the second Wednesday of the month. I'm Lark, and Famita is here, and Mebby is here. And we have some guests that I'll introduce in a minute. And today we're going to be talking about a bit of a taboo topic, peeing. In fact, I've been calling this the Pee Your Pants Show. We all do it, but we hear very little about it in the media. Good sanitation facilities, as well as good bladder control, greatly contribute to human dignity. As we age, our bladders get weaker. Incontinence is a major embarrassment to older women and something that leads to reduced quality of life. So what can we do about it? Our guests, Dr. Chantal Dumoulin of the Institut Universitaire de Gératrie, Université de Montréal, and her colleague, Valérie Elliott, are here to talk about their work on incontinence and to help us either prevent or remedy the problem by doing pelvic floor exercises. So welcome to Older Women Live. Okay, so Chantal, I'm going to start with you.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Very happy to have you here. And let's just plunge right in. Why do more women pee their pants than men?
Well, that's actually a very good question. Actually, why do we have more incontinence than men? It's because we have a hole in our pelvic floor. If you think about it, the center of the pelvic floor in women is the vagina. And because of that, we don't have as much muscle mass as men. And also, women will have babies, and delivery will put a lot of pressure, a lot of stretching on those muscles. And that's mainly the reasons why women have more incontinence than men.
Aha. And about how many women are incontinent?
Well, the statistics are as follow. One woman in three during her life will have incontinence. And in men, as we said before, it's a little bit less. So it's one man in 10.
Ah, okay, because they don't have a hole in the pelvic floor.
They don't have a hole in the pelvic floor. What will happen to men is mostly with aging. The men who have prostate surgery, when the prostate is removed, often the cancer is not only in the prostate, but also in the urethra and the urethral sphincter. So by removing part of the cancer, they often go and remove part of the muscle around the urethra, and that's why those men have urinary incontinence.
So we can't help them with our exercises. However, we will help women.
Yeah, we can help them, actually.
Yeah.
If the sphincter is not completely taken out, we can actually train the pelvic floor to compensate for the weaker urethra. And actually, our studies have shown that when we train the pelvic floor, we also increase the muscle mass of the urethra. So that means that we can help them a little bit. So if they want to do the exercise with us today, they can.
Okay, so talk a bit more about incontinence. It's different types, I understand. I don't have any of them, so you'll have to tell me everything.
Yeah, well, there's three types of incontinence that are the most prevalent, and they're easy to differentiate. First, you have stress incontinence. Stress incontinence will happen when you cough, when you sneeze, and it's a little amount of urine that will just go in your pants at the same amount that you cough, sneeze, do a jumping jack, or a little bit of running. So it is more frequent in younger women. It will happen after delivery. It will happen also in young women who do sport, exercise, running, basketball, sports like that. And it's easy to treat, usually, because it's, again, related to weakness of the musculature. The other type of incontinence that is a little bit less frequent, but that is also one of the three most frequent, is urgency incontinence. And this is referred to the type of incontinence that happen You know, when you go back home, you put your key in the knob and then you really, really need to go. Well, if that urgency is so strong that you will lose your urine going to the bathroom, then it's called urgency incontinence. And that's often in relation with a poor pelvic floor, but also a hyperactive bladder. And the hyperactive bladder can be related to either medication you take, either also illness that you might have, or even coffee or a beer that you just took. So there's food and drinks that can make your bladder a little bit more hyperactive. So that's the second type of incontinence. And the third one is mixed incontinence. And actually what it does is it combines both stress and urge symptoms, and we call it mix. And often you have the mix incontinence in later life, because when you're younger, if you had babies, if you have stress incontinence, you didn't treat it. And as you get older, the bladder, as you said before, it will get a little bit weaker. And so you will get a little bit more urge. So combined together, the prevalence of mix incontinence is more important in older women.
Right. And it's shameful, right?
Unfortunately, it's a taboo. Yeah, exactly. We know that women will not talk about it to their doctors before about 7 years. So they will not talk about it to their friends. They will stay at home. They will not do as they will not be as active as they should be. They will stay home, like I said. They will not do activities. We have also seen in our studies that women who have incontinence, severe incontinence, we see that they have difficulty with strength in their legs and balance. And what we think is that because they are so untrained, because they stay at home and they're isolated, there might be a link there why they are having more problem with balance. And what's a little bit sad in older women is that incontinence is related to falls.
Yes.
So I guess that because you're incontinent, you're going to stay more at home, you're not going to be active, and then you're going to lose that strength, and then you're going to fall. I think it's a terrible story that goes that way. So we have to do something.
Yes. And I guess this is one way we're trying to inform people out there what's going on. And the other thing is public toilets. I mean, I remember when I was young, there were public toilets that the government or the city provided, and they're all gone. And so even if you have a mild problem peeing your pants, you don't want to go out because there's nowhere to go, right?
I guess it's difficult. It's more difficult now. Some restaurants are saying, you know, you cannot go in
our they have signs.
Bathrooms. They have signs now, yes.
Yeah.
They're actually on the internet, a little application that you can download on your iPod or you can go look into that tells you the best bathroom in different city. Actually, I think it's the association, a foundation for incontinent people in Canada on their website.
Really?
So if you want to go somewhere and you're not sure if you're going to find bathrooms, you might want to go on their site and try to see. Because they rate it, actually, if they're clean.
That's amazing. Yeah. So there's a foundation for incontinent people?
Yeah.
Which you can just Google that and find a website?
It's actually the Canadian Foundation.
Because you have to have the words right when you Google. I know that.
So it's the Canadian Foundation for incontinent people. And it's really interesting because it gives you a lot of information, those toilet information, which are funny, but also it gives you information about in your area.
Yes.
Who are the professionals that can help you with your incontinence? So either the physiotherapist, the nurses, the doctors, but also there's tips on the site. So I think it's a good place to go to have information about incontinence.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to the first one, the stress incontinence, because I remember when I had babies, my first baby was born in England, and they taught us Kegels.
Mm.
And they said, if you don't do this, you'll end up peeing your pants.
Mm-hmm.
But I had babies in Canada, and nobody told me to do any exercise. I mean, I already knew because I had a baby before, but I don't remember anybody telling me to exercise or suggesting that peeing my pants could be a consequence of not exercising. And a little anecdote, I have a friend who finally, after knowing her for quite a while, confessed that she was incontinent, and I asked her if she did the Kegel exercise, and she knew what I meant, and she mm-hmm. said, oh, yes, she said, I do them. And I said, do you do them every day? She said, yes, I do them every day. So I said, how often? Oh, once, she said. And I wondered who had taught it. They told me you have to do them like 10 times, 3 times a day or something. It went on forever. I was... You know, do them at the bus stop. Do them when you're doing the dishes. Like, they gave me all these ideas of how often to do them and when to do them when I had my first baby. And,
yes.
And don't they do this in Canada?
Well, actually, they should.
Good.
And maybe not everywhere, but there's countries like England, Australia, New Zealand, where when you are incontinent, you get the pads or the diapers paid by the government. And you can see that in those countries, they have much more better rehabilitation or treatment for people that have incontinence because of the cost, you know. Here, unfortunately, it's not something that comes necessarily after delivery. Although if you look at the clinical practice guideline from the obstetrics gynecologists of Canada, the urologists of Canada, they all say that you should do your Kegel, your pelvic floor muscle exercise after delivery, because the muscle has been weakened
yes.
by your delivery. You have 10% of women after delivery who will have incontinence that will last a lifetime if they don't do anything.
That's what they told me.
Yeah, so really, and it's a training thing. So it's important, like you're saying, not to do it only once a day. But if you want to train and increase the strength of your muscle, it's really important to do it more than that. And later on, Valerie is going to explain
yes.
to us
oh,
how to
We're going
to
gonna get
it.
There.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a piece of music called Marinella. And I will tell you about the music in this show later.
Thank you. Blue Skies Turn Black presents Bar Brothers with the Low Anthem.
I'm a beggar in the morning. I'm a king at night. I'm built to lose my triggers.
Fresh off the release of their self-titled debut album, the Providence-bred but Montreal-based Bar Brothers will pull at your heartstrings and transport you to a bygone time with their melancholic and introspective melodies. Don't miss them on October 18th at La Tulipe, 4530 Papineau, alongside the Low Anthem. Doors are at 7:30. Tickets on sale via blueskiesturnblack.com. A CQUT co-presentation.
Welcome back. This is OWL, Older Women Live, on CKUT 90.3 FM. And I am talking to Chantal Dumoulin, and later to our other guest, about peeing your pants. So, you've been doing research, and I'd like you to tell us about how you do it and everything. But first of all, if it's such a shameful subject, how did you find volunteers?
That's a very good question. Actually, we just posed publicity in the pharmacies, you know, close to where the diapers are, or her protection. And we get a lot of volunteers because we're doing research on incontinence, which doesn't imply medication, surgery.
Right.
So it's really a conservative intervention. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of women, like I said before. Mm-hmm. I told you before, it's one woman interred, but actually my research is more in aging women because the research center where I am, the Institute de Gériatrie, is for good, healthy aging. Mm-hmm. So it's women 65 and up. And in women 65 and up, it's more than 55% of women who have incontinence. More than half.
Oh.
So actually, it's really easy to have volunteers.
Good. Now, how did you do the research?
How do we do the research? Well, what we do, we have two major goals in our research. First is to better understand the changes that will happen in the pelvic floor muscle, because we train the pelvic floor. We do the Kegels, like you were saying. So we need to know what changes with aging, and there's not so much research on that. And knowing that more, we will be able to propose better treatment. We also want to see what are the other things that change with aging in incontinent women. I talked to you a little bit before about the fact that they were a little bit less stronger in their legs and that they had balance problem. And knowing that, we will modify our training program to incorporate those exercises in our program. So first, to better know what's wrong with the muscle. And for that, we use a big word, which is dynamometry, which is an instrument to measure the strength of the muscle. We also use ultrasound. You know, the ultrasound that you have when you have a baby and they look at the baby. Well, we can look at the muscles and take measurements of the muscle. But more importantly, we can teach the ladies how to contract with the ultrasound. They can see their bladder. They can see their muscle. So we use ultrasound to learn more. And we can also use MRI to, again, learn more about the muscle. Mm-hmm. So that's one part. The other part, which I find it's even more fun, is to find better treatment, new treatment to help women who have incontinence. Before, it was more one-on-one treatment. The lady comes and you teach them, you do a vaginal evaluation and you teach them how to do the Kegels. Sometimes you can use a probe, something like a tampon inside the vagina, and to show her how to squeeze on that tampon. And sometimes there's a screen and shows the lady if she contracts more, the arrow will go higher or not. But what I'm interested more into is to do group training, because I think those ladies are really alone, like we said before. We need to bring them together to have more encouragement and to be able to train together their pelvic floor. Like you said, training is not so much fun. So if you do it in group, it gets more fun. You get peer encouragement, and then you don't feel you're alone anymore with your incontinence.
Right.
So that's the other part of the research.
I actually found out about this research because I saw an ad somewhere looking for people to volunteer. Now, I am not incontinent, but I called anyway, and they said, oh, yes, we want people who aren't incontinent because, of course, you have to compare, right?
Exactly.
And they did ultrasound. I went twice, and the first time was one thing, and the second time they did ultrasound, and I could see my muscle, and she was showing me my muscle and saying what a good shape it was and how strong it was, which is why I don't pee my pants.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really interesting to do, and I actually talked to a couple of friends and suggested they do it, and even though, as far as I know, they're not even incontinent, I was suggesting they do it for, you know, the good of the human, well, the female part of the human race anyway.
And I think it's also...
They didn't want to do it.
Oh, they didn't want to do
no,
it.
No, they didn't want to do it. No, I couldn't do that, they say. I guess it's too intimate to have your...
Yeah, maybe for some women. But I think that for prevention, like I said, 1 woman in 2 have incontinence. So you never know at a certain point in your life, maybe your muscles are going to be weaker. Yeah. Maybe you gain a little bit too much weight, and then there's more too much pressure on the pelvic floor. Maybe you have a chronic cough, and because of that, there's too much pressure repeatedly on your pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. Maybe you had constipation, and you push too much, and again, it weakens your pelvic floor. So I think it's important for all women to know how to contract their muscle. In some cultures... mother teach their daughter how to contract their pelvic floor.
Really?
Before I started doing research, I was a physiotherapist at St. Justin's Hospital, and I was seeing the ladies after delivery to teach them how to contract their pelvic floor. And once I got in a room, and there was that that lady from Africa. I don't remember the country, though, but it was the northern part of Africa. And the mother was there, and she had taught her daughter, putting her fingers in the vagina of her daughter, how to contract her muscle.
Now, oh, my goodness.
I cannot imagine my mother doing that to me, but I think it would be a good thing that we learn about those exercises. If you think about it, even young girls who do gymnastics, who jumps on trampoline all day, they sometimes are incontinent at 15 years old because they put too much pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
If they knew how to contract their pelvic floor, it should be something that we teach in gym,
yes.
I think.
Yes. You have a question?
No, it's a more than a question. I was saying, you know, there's so little awareness about it. It's more than shame, I think, as you said. If you build in an awareness of something which is progressive,
yeah,
rather than wait till you're old and say, oh, my God, what's happening to me? So I personally think that where I'm concerned, it's more you connect it with age.
Yeah.
It's something, so it's raising an awareness and knowing where to go, which you've done the research on.
Yeah. I think... You know, I would agree. We need to know about that muscle. It's a muscle that, for women, is a little bit weaker than men. We know that. So we have to take care of it.
Yep.
And we should start young. And another good thing to maybe learn how to contract that muscle is not only for continence per se, but also for sexuality. Let's face it.
Absolutely.
It will help you have more orgasm. It will help your sexuality. So I think that, you know, let's look at the bright side of doing those exercises and let's train, you know.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take another break. And the next song is You Can't Hurry Love. And I'm now going to share with you this music is what they use. And we're going to be talking to Valerie about in the exercises they do. So you can think about that. And if you know how to do your Kegels already, you can practice. You Can't Hurry Love.
Computer on. Record.
Recording, dear.
Thursdays Alive, a presentation of CKUT-FM showcasing the very best of the McGill Underground.
Do you mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
Every third Thursday at Gert's Tavern in the Shatner Building of McGill's downtown campus. Next event, October 13th, super secret all-star lineup celebrating the launch of the campus mixtape site. Doors at 7:30. Sweet, sweet ticket giveaways from CKUT. Cheap, cheap beer from Gert's. No cover. Does this sound awesome? It is. Hey, you. Are you in a band? Are you a McGill student or staff member? Send your demos to McGillEvents at ckut.ca.
That devotion to something that cannot be sensed, cannot be realized, but only dreamed.
Welcome back. This is Owl, CKUT 90.3 FM. And I have guests Chantal Dumoulin and Valerie Elliott. We're going to give Chantal a moment's rest. But before we do, I have to remind you that this month, from the 20th to the 30th, this is a CKUT funding drive. And we need money. And you have to send it to us. And if you put the name of our show on, then they'll remember that we did a good thing and told you about it. Mm-hmm. It costs $400,000 to keep CKUT going for a year. And it costs about $50 per hour of radio. So this hour that we're rushing through is costing $50. So a little donation, please. And now I'm going to talk to Valerie, who does the actual training, which that jolly music was part of. So let's jump right in. Yeah. Is it ever too late?
No, it's never too late to train the pelvic floor muscles, since they are muscles. So even if you pee in your pants for 2 years, you can start doing pelvic floor exercise, and you're going to have some benefits if you train properly your pelvic floor. Aha. And that's a good point, because you really have, before starting training, to make sure that you're contracting the good muscles, and you're not only contracting your buttocks or the inside of your thighs, for example.
Aha. How about 20 years? You mentioned two.
20 years, it depends. You can have other condition, like if you have a bladder descent or something like that, it can be a little bit harder. But if it's just a muscle weakness, you can definitely help to get those mm-hmm. muscles stronger with some training, for sure.
And once you've taught me and I've done it properly, then I won't be incontinent anymore?
You have to train for a few months. And you have to do few exercise. And maybe if you agree, I can give you some advice, and we can even try some exercise together at home to see if we're able to contract our pelvic floor. What do you think?
Okay. So how do you teach?
How do we teach? So the first thing, before assessing your ability to contract your pelvic floor, it's really important to know where are those muscles in your body. So the pelvic floor stretch out like an hammock from the pubic bone in front to the coccyx bone behind. So when you can visualize, so it not only helps to retain urine and gas, but also to support the bladder and the uterus. So since you know where the muscle is, you can try to contract this muscle. So at home, if you want to try, you have to be in the sitting position on a chair with a seat relatively rigid to feel your muscle moving. So if you are sitting comfortably on a chair, you can relax all the muscle like your buttocks and the inside of your thighs. And then you can try to contract your pelvic floor as hard as you can, as if you were trying to hold in urine or gas. And you should feel your muscle being drawn inwards. So you should feel a movement inwards. If you feel that your muscles are pushing through the chair, that's not what we want. So you don't have an effective contraction if you feel your muscle pushing through the chair. And it's really important to take care of that, because we don't want to do pushing exercise. We want to do contracting exercise.
Uh-huh. But when you have people come in to do it, do you just do this, or do you actually have them?
actually, when we have people who come in, we're going to do some vaginal examination to make sure that they contract good muscle. But at home, it's a good trick to see if you are able to contract correctly your pelvic floor by feeling your muscle being drawn inwards. So that's the important message. So if you're able to do that, then you can start a training program because you know that you're contracting the good muscle.
Right. So you do this training program at the Geriatric Institute, and you do it in groups. How big are the groups?
It's group. The group session are eight participants. And what we do, it consists of a 15-minute education period at the beginning. And we're going to talk about topic on mixed urinary incontinence. For instance, we are going to discuss about foods that can irritate the bladder, as Chantal said, like caffeine and alcohol. We're going to give advice on how to limit the number of trips to the washroom and how to suppress urges during the day. So all little advice that can be very practical for the daily life. After that, we do 45 minutes of conventional pelvic floor muscle exercises in different positions, especially in the standing position, sitting, lying, and on hands and knees. And we're going to do some strength and endurance training in those different positions. So it's quite something. It's not easy.
Now, one of the things that Chantal said to me when we were talking about doing this show was that not only are people learning to be less incontinent or not at all incontinent, but they're also become a social support thing. Tell me about that too.
Absolutely, because women beside in them, they are talking about of what they are living at home or outside. Sometimes they are, how can I say that? They are embarrassed about their leakage in public. So they really exchange about that topic, and they really are good friends at the end. And it's very nice to see because they are helping each other and they are encouraging each other, and it's very nice.
And how often, like, do they come every week, twice a week? How long do they do it for?
They come every week for an hour for 3 months, so 12 weeks, because research showed that you need to train for at least 3 months to gain strength. So it's really important to train enough to gain strength. But you can start to see improvement after only 6 weeks.
Oh, really?
Because after 6 weeks, you become more aware on when and how to contract your pelvic floor.
Right.
And
right.
You become more effective in isolating your pelvic floor. Uh-huh. So you can really see improvement after only 6 weeks. So it's very encouraging, but you need at least 3 months to gain strength for sure.
And do you give them homework?
I give them homework. They have to do their own exercise every day, and they even have a little calendar to write their exercise for me to see if they're doing their homework. So it's funny, but they do their homework because they do this for themselves. So
right,
they enjoy it, I think.
And have you found women who come to you will talk to women outside of the group and encourage them to come?
Yes, because sometimes they referred their neighbors, their sisters. So sometimes we have reference from our participants because they just realize that this program have helped them. So they really refer some people. So it's very interesting and it's encouraging for our research program.
Yes.
When you said, do they come to your place? Where is it held? I don't know where the location is or whether it's an organization.
No, it's l'Institut Geriatrie of Montreal, where Chantal is doing her research. So we have a gym, we have a laboratory, so we train our participants in our gym, and we have a lot of equipment, so it's very nice.
And the Geriatric Institute is where?
It's on Queen Mary, near Côte des Neiges.
It's just on the other side of the mountain.
Ah,
right here.
So all these extraordinarily fit, ancient, peeing-their-pants ladies can go over the mountain and down the other side and get there. No, no. I think they might might have to go around. Oh, now I've forgotten what I was going to ask you. Oh, yes, do the ladies who leave understand that they really have to keep doing this for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, and it's important. Since the pelvic floor is a muscle, you have to continue to train this muscle for the rest of your life. But our participants are very good because they are able to integrate the contraction into their daily activity, like when they are waiting for the microwave or when they are waiting at the red light in the car, or they can even incorporate this contraction into their gym routine. So they are very good. And they always contract before, as Chantal say, before a cough or a sneeze. So yes. If you continue to do this over and over, you still keep your benefits from your initial training. So it's important to continue, but if you integrate this contraction into your daily life, it won't be as hard as stopping everything to do your exercise every day.
And just out of plain curiosity, how old is your oldest participant?
I have a participant of 82 years old.
Wow.
And she's pretty good. She's independent. She's not walking with any aids. So she's very good. And she can do everything, every exercise she's able to do. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
And you said you had a DVD. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Chantal, I've done a DVD of pelvic floor exercise. I think it's on sale.
It's on sale at the Institut Universitaire de Gériatrie de Montréal. Right now, it's only in French, however, but we're planning to do it in English. So it brings you through 3 months of pelvic floor muscle training. And the exercises are done with me and a patient and a woman. And we do the exercise in lying position, sitting and standing position. And every month you can move your DVD to another section to get more difficult exercise in order to get more
to advanced. Yes. And you said you use music.
Yeah, we use music during our class to make it a little bit more dynamic. And it's the music we've just listened to during our breaks. So it's interesting because they are loving to do exercise on music.
Yes. Anybody ever break down and just dance?
Sometimes. Why not? It's good for the legs and it's good for everything.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we'll play some more of that music now. We're going to play Don't Be Cruel.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's OWL, CKUT 90.3 FM, and it's the Pee Your Pants Show. I've been talking with Chantal Dumoulin and Valerie Elliott about all kinds of stuff about peeing your pants, and Valerie said that she would do an exercise on the air. So take it away, Valerie.
Yeah, so I have an exercise to propose, which is called the coordination exercise. And this exercise is very helpful to treat stress urinary incontinence. So I'll show you how to do this exercise. So you can do it in a sitting position at home or at work. So first of all, you have to breathe out slowly through your mouth. And then you have to squeeze your pelvic floor at muscle as hard as you can. You'll hold that contraction for 1 second, and then you'll do a cough, a strong cough. And you will try to continue to contract your pelvic floor while you're coughing. Really important. After that, when your cough is done, you'll relax for 2 seconds, and you can repeat the cycle, so the contraction, cough, and relaxation, twice more. And this exercise, why it is so useful, it's because if you contract your pelvic floor before any activities that will enhance your intra-abdominal pressure, you will reduce the urine leakage caused by the activities. So it's going to help a lot. And a research shows that doing this particularly exercise for only 1 week can reduce urine leakage up to 73%. So I really recommend this exercise for women who suffer from stress urinary incontinence.
So that's coughing, laughing, sneezing.
Exactly.
Yes. Jumping?
Jumping, lifting a heavy object, getting up of a chair.
Ah, wonderful. Thank you. I hope everybody was practicing at home.
I hope so.
Okay. Now, I wanted to mention, because I find it so horribly, horribly offensive, Whoopi Goldberg's TV ad where she indicates that Helen of Troy, Cleopatra, Queen Elizabeth I, the Statue of Liberty, and various other famous women were all incontinent because apparently 1 in 3 women are. And as we've learned from Chantal, in fact, it's mostly older women, and many of these people, well, Statue of Liberty was never alive, but as far as I know, the other three did not live to be old, so it's highly unlikely that any of them were incontinent, and the ad is offensive, I think, anyway. I do have a question about medicine. I've seen ads for medicine that's going to stop you having to get out of the car every 3 minutes, I think, of what happens in the ad.
Yeah, I just would like to come back, if it's possible,
yes,
because we didn't say how effective those exercises were. And I think it's very important, because if you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life, you want them to be effective.
Yes.
And actually, in our studies, we have found, and in other studies, we have found that between 70 and 80% of women will be dry following those exercises.
Wow.
And the others will be improved. So I think it's really interesting to know that you're not doing that for nothing. It is,
yes,
making your incontinence be,
yes,
less important.
Yes.
Now, to answer your question about medication, the first line treatment would really be, in all the types of incontinence, to do exercise, to do a more conservative management first, because like I said, it works most of the time. If it doesn't work, a medication could help you, especially if your bladder is hyperactive, it could calm down your bladder. Unfortunately, right now, most of the medication that are used for that will bring a lot of dryness in your mouth. So they have a lot of side effects, and not so many patients will use them for a long term. And actually, there have been studies comparing medication to conservative management, and both of them give similar results. So I would suggest, before taking a medication, to try the conservative management. And if not, that could be helpful, but really, I think trying the conservative,
yeah,
first.
Oh, well, that's really interesting. I'm glad you pointed out the question. I hadn't asked about how effective it is. And the other thing is, I wondered about, is this being done all over the world? Like, is it sort of a hot topic now that so many of us are getting old?
I think one of the reason my research is funded is probably because of the numbers, because of women are getting older, the number of women who will be incontinent will increase, and that the treatment that can be offered to them, if it's not conservative management, would be medication or surgery, which is much more expensive. So yes, I think that's why we're trying to do more and more. Mm-hmm. And we have more research also, maybe because before there was more research for surgery medication, but there was not so much research for exercise. And now that we see the results and we see that the result can last, now I think that's why more and more we're proposing this treatment to women.
But it doesn't make any money for the companies that make medication and diapers, does it?
Yeah.
And you mentioned you'd been to a conference in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Tell me.
It's actually the International Continence Society. Did you know there was one?
No.
So it's a society where there's a professional from different disciplines. There's doctors, physiotherapists, urologists, engineers, right. A patient also who are coming to that meeting. In Glasgow, we were about 3,000 people there.
Wow.
And researchers are presenting the result of their studies. And that's where we go to get more up-to-date information right. about the research, and we exchange on our right. clinical practice. Yes.
Great. And if somebody was interested in getting these exercises, how can they find you?
Well, like we said, we're at the Institut Universitaire de Gériatrie, but the phone number, if you'd like to know it, is 514-340-3540. And is that too fast or okay?
You can repeat it.
Okay, so 340-3540. And the extension is 4129. Or if you prefer, just go on Google and just say Chantal Dumoulin, and you will get to my site, the site of our lab. Our website, and there you can see what we're doing as research. You can also have tips about exercise, like Valérie told you,
yes.
and things like that.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad you're doing this work. I think it's so important. Thank
well,
you.
I think we're really glad, me and Valérie, that you invited us, because for us to be able to speak to women and tell them that you shouldn't be ashamed, you shouldn't stay at home, and you can treat incontinence is really what we're there for, so
yes.
we're really happy about it.
Well, thank you so much. And we're getting close to the end, and I want to mention a couple of things. Our next show is November 9th, and the topic, which I've lost my piece of paper, is strip clubs with Sheila Jeffries. Does anybody... she says that strip clubs are high finance venues. And does anybody remember Sheila Jeffries? She was a very famous feminist way back when I was quite young, and in England. And in fact, she was quite scandalous, apparently. She was a radical feminist. And it should be interesting. The show after us is Amandla. This is CKUT, UT 90.3 FM. We're OWL. Our guests were Chantal Dumoulin and Valérie Elliott at the Geriatric Institute on Queen Mary Road. And we lost a wonderful feminist this month, or possibly the end of last month, since our last show anyway. Wangari Maathai died. She's the one who planted all those trees. She's African. She planted all those trees. She got a Nobel Prize. She was truly amazing and wonderful. And we really, really miss her a lot. And I've got a minute. I will remind you again, this is funding drive this month. Let me find you another statistic that you would like. Okay, $25 gets you a Friends with Benefits discount card. Apparently all these people who have businesses will give you a discount if you have this card. You also can get $60 gets you a card and a T-shirt or bag. custom screened CKUT. I got one of their bags last year, and they're absolutely beautiful. And you can give as much as you want. The highest here is $480 or $40 a month, and that gives two people these cards. And if you have that much money, you should give it two. And we're going to go out on another piece of music from the exercise show, Yada Joie.
If you're young at heart, for it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind. If you're young at heart, you can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh till your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth